got that nerd rage. Nerd rage. I got that nerd rage. Nerd rage.
From comics and games to movies and TV, this is the Nerd Show on 1310 KFKA.
Nerd rage. Nerd rage.
Now here are the nerds.
Hello, Nerdians. You're listening to the Nerd Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA here in the Allo Communications Studios in downtown Greeley on this frigid fall. I don't have another F word that I can say on air. Day.
Fun.
Fun. Fun.
Funky.
Fun Wednesday.
Fun Wednesday.
Fabulous Wednesday.
It has been
Funko
a fabulous
Pop.
Wednesday because we had a new episode of Andor come out today. You know what makes me sad?
There's only one left.
Yes.
Wait, there's only one left?
Yep.
God damn it.
But in all the series that we've been reviewing on the show lately, this is the most we've gotten out of anything.
Yeah.
Since we've been reviewing shows, most out of House of the Dragon, out of The Rings of Power, Obi-Wan series. It's been the gift that keeps on giving.
Yes, it has. So,
but I'm a little sad that it's coming to an end soon.
I am too. I'm a little bit bummed. But I am just like, the only thing for me is like once it's over, I get to go back and watch it over again because it was so good and it just keeps getting better.
It's unbelievable. Also, November 21st, they start filming season 2.
I know.
That's just a few short days away. We didn't submit any audition tapes, but I guess that means we're not cast for season 2.
I guess not.
Also, none of us are British.
Most
of the cast is British. Well, there's like an Irish person. I think there's an American, but most of them are British.
Well, they're going for that because if you remember original trilogy.
The guy from Andor, I think he's Mexican.
He is, yes.
Yeah.
But in the original trilogy, they had, you know, Peter Cushing was kind of the main bad guy in that regard. And he has that very English. And that was something that... you know, George brought to the table to kind of create that menacing sort of an evil mindset character. And so, yes, they are definitely playing into that motif and that kind of, I don't know what you want to call it, that accent and that mindset that, you know, that's what most of the Empire is. So,
well, I just think it's a bit unfair.
It is.
I mean, I love it. Absolutely love it. Yeah. Which is the biggest controversy when we didn't know Rey and her parentage. There are so many connections of, well, only the bad guys have a British accent. Like, well, Obi-Wan had a British accent. That's why they connected Rey, perhaps, with an offspring of Obi-Wan Kenobi back when those rumors were spreading, those fan theories from, gosh, almost a decade ago.
Yeah, well, but
that's wild.
Mon Mothma always had a British accent.
She did. She was one of the originals. She was, other than Obi-Wan, who only lasted, you know, the first 42 minutes of the A New Hope. I don't know. I'm just estimating there. Mon Mothma, and she didn't make an appearance until episode 6.
Mm-hmm. But then we see her again in Rogue One, and she has been a vital part of this. And oh my gosh, that actress in today's episode, I felt so bad for her.
She is
doing that job amazingly well, and you can see the challenges that she's having emotionally. And the choices that she's making and the impact that that's going to have on her family is just heart-wrenching.
Well, and there's a lot of undertones that we're getting from both the last episode and this episode of, well, you know, was her marriage arranged? Do you get that sense?
Yes, I do.
Yes, I think she's a part of, like, a culture that believes in that. Yep. And so she, as a senator, is forced to do that, to serve, in a way, serve the people.
Maybe not as a senator, but maybe as a wealthy person.
Yeah, just as a wealthy person. Because did she say she was married at what? They were married at 14 or 16?
Something like that.
Yeah, very young that they were married, and they've kind of, they've got their own little things, and they do what they do, and they're kind of getting that, okay.
Does anyone else hate that dude? Because I cannot stand that dude.
Her husband?
Yeah.
I don't necessarily hate him. He's an entitled, rich, white guy.
He's like a trophy husband. He's just kind of there.
He reminds me of a lot of politicians. and their significant others.
Oh, well, there you go.
At least, you know, at least she's trying to do something, and he's just kind of there.
Well, he doesn't
to be
know
annoying.
That. He doesn't know that she's trying to do something. Well, has done something.
I think he knows, I believe he knows what that she's up to something, and he knows what her beliefs are. And I think there's a possibility. I think they're trying to set it up that maybe he might try to betray her. But I don't know.
I'm not getting that sense.
I don't get it either. I think he's happy in his obliviousness, and I think if he learned of anything, he would just do his absolute best to forget it. And
yeah, I think he'll be more resentful that he'll lose his lavish lifestyle than he will, you know, upset or thrilled that she's supporting the rebellion.
See, yeah. I think he knows what she's up to, and I think he fears that he's going to lose the lavish lifestyle. So why not, if this starts becoming a risk, why not talk to the other side and see if you can bargain your way out of this and keep your lavish lifestyle?
Well, we know that there's got to be some level of anonymity built into this that's going to have to last for at least the next, you know, 5 years. You know, because we see...
Is this going to last 5 years?
Well, I mean, that's a differential. I mean, what we're seeing today, you know, what we saw in the current series of Andor is it's 5 years before the Battle of Yavin. And you remember in Rogue One, they're still referring to her as Senator. And so she was a senator of the, you know, at that point in time. And then you remember in right after... You know, or early on in A New Hope, then the Emperor has dissolved the Senate. And so she was still a senator. She is still a senator 5 years from where we're at now. So what happens and how that plays out over the next 5 years, we have no clue. But
this is how tense it is for her 5 years before the rebellion really does take off in the manner at which it does. Just every one of her scenes is fantastic. And normally, you know, growing up watching Star Wars, whenever they got into the even the smaller political scenes, just like, here the grown-ups are talking again. Yeah. I am just captivated by her internal struggles. And I think this was the first episode that we felt the weight of the danger that she finds herself. Yeah. I knew you had that complications with her finances before, and you know how they're going to try to cover and tidy things up with Tay's help, and then that he's not a smuggler, he's the skis ball kind of guy,
the gangster kind of guy,
But she's genuinely seemed scared, in today's episode.
Oh, very well, for
and she
for
wears
multiple
it
reasons.
On her face.
Yes,
a lot of people. She's very. Now, I don't want to say monotone because I'm very monotone. But she's very calm and
she's direct. Kind of like we got from the last episode was she'll say what's on her mind.
Yep.
But she, I like this actress. She is able to very well wear her emotions on her face without moving too much. Like she can express with her eyes so well. A lot of actors can do that, but not quite as well as she can. I mean, she's not, it almost looks effortless. It almost looks natural to her.
I was going to say, I think it looks authentic.
Authentic, yeah.
Yeah.
Like she, it's almost as if, like this has happened to her in her life. And I don't want to speculate, but it just seems like she's amazing at this. And she's almost becoming my favorite character because of how well she acts.
She's definitely, well, I think not one person has disappointed me on this show or this series. Everyone from the top of Mon Mothma all the way down to Luthen and his assistant, to Vel, to Bix. I mean, this episode, I mean, if your heart didn't break by just seeing her, was just gut-wrenching. Just gut-wrenching what the Empire is doing. And they don't the power there is they don't show the torture. You know, this isn't like Game of Thrones where they showed the brutality, but they've done enough to tease to we know what happens right when they go to black or cut to the next scene, and then seeing that character. I mean, you go back to The Empire Strikes Back where you kind of see Han. He comes in, his hair's a little disheveled, and he just looks up at Leia and says, "I feel terrible."
Well, and even in A New Hope, you know, you see the mind probe, you know, Dr. Ball, for those of us from, you know, Robot Chicken. But you see that where it's implied, and it's that element of I'm going to hint at something and let your mind fill in the blanks, which I think is brilliant in these type of scenarios because everybody has a different vision of what that looks like, but usually you find something that terrifies you or that scares the living daylights out of you to fill that gap, and it does exactly what you want it to do, to make it feel challenging and difficult and hard and impossible and all those things. So
our own imaginations, yes, our, you know, speculation between the three of us can be even more fearful than the actual act.
What they're doing really well is when they do cut to the next scene, for example, when Bix screams when she's got the headphones on as being tortured, even though the scene ends, they kind of carry that same pitch or timbre into the next scene in a different element, whether that's a musical instrument or the sound of an engine that's whirring, W-H-I-R-R, you know.
Yep.
You know, it carries over, so you still get some remnants of that past horrific scene that carries over, so your imagination is still going on with what they might be doing behind those closed doors, and you have a new scene, and you're just, oh my gosh. I think that layering has been just exceptional, yeah, with the direction of this show.
Yeah.
It's the quality of, well, and this is just across the board with Star Wars, with House of the Dragon. I mean, I think just the quality of everything across the board has just enhanced since, over the years.
Yep.
The stories are better. They're more engaging. They're more authentic. They seem more real. We seem so a part of this universe. It's the best time to be alive if you're a nerd.
Oh, it absolutely is. And we have barely scratched the surface on this episode. So I think we should keep talking about it after the break.
Well, you're not going to have to twist my arm.
Okay.
Or put, you know, the voices of screaming children in my head. All right. We'll stay tuned, Nerdians. We'll be back with more Andor discussion after this break. Welcome back to The Nerd Show. Seems like ominous music to come back to.
It does.
I should have been a little more somber. Welcome back to The Nerd Show.
Well, then maybe we should jump right into B.
Oh, B.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, your gosh, indeed.
That was so... I mean, the way they were able to get that droid to emote during those scenes was just unreal.
Well, I was surprised that they didn't actually show Marva passing. I was surprised they kind of killed her off so soon, but... Yeah, I think B carried the weight of that emotion.
Oh, yeah.
It was fantastic. And
when he says, he's like, you could stay, my heart just dropped. I'm like, oh my gosh.
Why do we think B has this little short?
I don't know.
This little stutter, stammer thing.
I think that we have not explored that. Maybe we will get background on that at some point in time in the future.
I like it.
I do too.
It's powerful. Yeah.
Well, and you remember in one of the very first episodes, I can't remember if it was one or two, when we get introduced to B, and he's full, he's whole, he's all the same color, he's shiny and new, and he doesn't have that hitch. And so, obviously, the years have not been kind to B, nor have they been kind to Marva.
Mm-mm.
So, you're just kind of navigating all of that, and it's just wild and crazy, but yeah.
So, we've had emotion in droids before. We had, you know, the sassiness of R2-D2 when we were first introduced to these characters in the 70s, and then the well, what do you just say for C-3PO?
Yeah.
Well, you have C-3PO, but very practical, very, you know, by mm-hmm. the book. We don't really get those emotions like we got with B. We get some of them, but this was very mm-hmm. different from any droid we've seen in the Star Wars universe so far.
Much more powerful. The loyalty side of that, and I kind of am thinking about what are the emotions or what are the characteristics that you could give to a droid. And I think you know, loyalty and devotion. And I go back to Luke's comment about that, you know, and he said he's looking for his former master. I've never seen such devotion in a droid before. And so obviously it's not common, but it obviously exists in some capacity. So I love the fact that they have really, really, you know, delved into that with that droid and have made that a really likable character. You just feel sorry for him.
I've been more emotional with the droids in the Star Wars universe as of late than some individuals, you know, with starting back with K2SO when dies. I mean, that was I shed tears when K2 dies. I mean, that's just heartbreaking.
Yeah, no, we haven't seen him yet. We got hints of it a couple episodes ago, and there was a whole bunch of people going, is that K2? And do you think we're going to see K2 in the next episode?
I don't think so. I think he'll be a guest in later seasons.
You think so?
I won't be upset if K2 makes an appearance. I don't think Cassian is in a position now to be able to capture an Imperial security droid and to successfully reprogram or rewire.
Well, just because there's no reason that couldn't be done over multiple iterations or have the droid's mind wiped, things like that. I mean, there's elements in there that you could have that happen in the next episode, and you could still very plausibly create a story arc that connects them the way it does over the course. And, you know, maybe we're seeing with B that loyalty and devotion gets built over multiple years and iterations, and we're going to have to get introduced to that soon in order for that level of loyalty that K2 had for Cassian and that kind of banter to develop. So,
well, I think, I mean, I would love to see a K2SO. Yeah. That would be fantastic. Probably won't have Alan Tudyk's voice this early on if it's not reprogrammed yet. But I would say I don't anticipate it because they haven't shown any of those droids on, is it Ferrix, right?
Right.
Ferrix yet. We saw it on that seashore planet.
But
not
that's where they're at
exist.
Now. That's where they're at now. So you think Melshi and Cassian, that's where we see them last.
They're on Ferrix.
They're back on the
right.
Yes.
Oh, I was going to, because I'm assuming Cassian's going back and they're going to try to ambush.
I don't think he is.
Really?
No, I don't. I don't think he's going to go. I think that. Even the conversation he had with Melshi, he's like, how's everything? He's like, everything's fine. It's great. So, and then Melshi says they should split up, which I'm interested to see how that's going to go and what they're going to do with the next episode. But I want him to not go to the funeral. And I understand the emotional connection and the reasons that you would go.
It'd be predictable.
But I don't want him to go. I want him to stay away because I want the Empire to be angry and upset the fact that they've kind of put all these resources at creating this trap for him and it doesn't happen. And I think it would add to Cyril's anger. And we saw that in the episode where he is like, you know, he gets, you know, the sergeant shows up. And he is just so overly, you know, consumed with the idea that Cassian's mom has died and now there's going to be a funeral. And so we know he's going there. And we have no idea where Lutheran's going after he gets, you know, jumped by the Imperials. But I think it would be brilliant writing that he doesn't go. And then they start to take it out on Ferrix. They start taking it out on
the local populace. I can see them destroying the wall. When they mentioned the wall and how Marva was going to be turned into dust to then be, you know, created into stone to the wall, I can tell without even seeing it that's a very significant piece of Ferrix. And if Andor doesn't go back, what's her name? Who's the ISB gal?
Oh my gosh.
Dedra.
Yeah.
Dedra. I can see her taking it out and having the Imperials destroy that wall.
Yeah.
As a retaliation and a frustration.
Well, and you could see even how she's trying to manipulate the whole system or situation where it's like, well, you know, they keep asking for a permit and we keep denying it. But she's like, no, let it happen. Be limited and small, but let's put them in a box. I mean, she is doing everything that she can. And I think her frustration, if she creates this trap and it doesn't work, only builds on her resolve, builds on her character. It, you know, there's so many ways that they could go with that. So I'm hopeful that Cassian doesn't go. I almost want to predict that he won't go, but I have a feeling that I could be wrong in that regard. But I think it would be more brilliant writing to show that because we've already seen, you know, Lutheran is going to go ahead and sacrifice 30 men plus, you know,
Krieger.
And I thought it was interesting they did that multiple times. I think it was either three or four times that he and Saw were in conversation about you're sacrificing 30 men. And he said, and Krieger, 30 men and Krieger, 30 men and Krieger. So there's there's something very obvious and I think very personal about that, that they are trying to reinforce that's going on.
Before we go into the Saw conversation with Lutheran, because I'm shocked that he went there immediately, but Bix, they showed her a little bit of the interrogation. She was a very small part of the episode, but they had an image of Krieger, and she didn't answer yes or no.
We don't know what she said.
So clearly, they don't know who Axis is. And they know who Krieger is because of the pilot that they had captured and then killed. So what do you think? What was the point of showing that scene with Bix?
I think, again, it's to reinforce that they are still scrambling. They don't know who it is. They're still trying to figure it out. And that's the best lead that they have so far. They're thinking that it might be him. And so they're trying to get an answer. And they're trying to connect all the dots because they don't have all of those dots. So I think it's very interesting to see they're, I don't want to say grasping at straws, but it's the best lead they've got. So they're hoping it's it. And
do you think Bix lies or tells the truth?
I don't know. And I think that's an element of where that torture comes into play. And it's like, you know, I think realistically she tells the truth and says no, because they don't have the guy and she is telling the truth. And so that would be her best out, just to go, no. And then, okay, great. Then they know, then the Empire knows there's even more going on that they've got to go and work through and try and figure out. But it's bizarre.
Would you be upset with her if she gave away Andor?
Yes, I would.
Because I would be upset to a point, but I've never been tortured.
Well, and but
so
let's be
I,
fair. I'd be upset,
I understand.
But I would understand it.
But
I mean,
she doesn't know where he is at all.
No, she doesn't.
But like if she told them who he was.
You mean Lutheran?
Yeah, well, anyone. But like if she gave any of them
away.
Yeah.
Yes, of course we'd be upset, but I think you would.
But I don't. She. I think she just knows Lutheran's face, not actually his name. Maybe he does. She does.
Yeah, because all she would go up is in the smokestack and send the signal out, and then he would show up. So,
Gosh,
he's covered his tracks well.
We love talking about Andor. We love talking about all the things
and
nerdy.
Hopefully we're not done, because I feel like there's even more to talk about.
There is. But wait, it's like an infomercial.
But wait,
there's more. Call now for your free set of steak knives. So actually text the line, right, Micah?
888-something-something. I don't remember.
Great job. Well, we're wonderful. Stay tuned. We'll be back with more of The Nerd Show. Welcome back to The Nerd Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA, Northern Colorado's voice, here in the Allo Communications studios. We're still discussing the latest episode of Andor.
Can I go back an episode real quick?
Yes.
All right. So in episode 10, there was the image where Lutheran is talking to the ISB mole.
Mm-hmm.
And that scene plays out, and you see one of the best monologues ever by an individual when, you know, Lutheran is going to, you know, what did he sacrifice and everything else. I saw in the last couple of days on social media, someone had done a still of one of the scenes, and it looks eerily familiar to the scene in Return of the Jedi when Vader is waiting for them to bring Luke.
The forest moon of Endor?
Yeah, on the forest moon of Endor when he surrenders. And you've got Vader facing Luke. So you've got the backside of Vader. And then you've got Luke in all black being brought towards him. You know, and the stormtroopers are like, you know, this rebel, he, you know, gave himself up. And
he was armed only with this.
With the lightsaber. But there's a scene in there where it's kind of dark. It's in the moon and everything else. And there was a still of that same look and feel where you've got Lutheran talking to the ISB agent and, you know, the cloak that he's wearing and just the shape of his head, everything. It has an eerie resemblance to kind of like the silhouette of Vader. And there were some comments about, is there some parallelism? Is there some similarities that Lutheran has had to make all these sacrifices and literally become the evil that they're trying to destroy in order to destroy them, because he says that, you know, he's got to play by their rules. And I thought that was really interesting, and it added even more depth to that scene.
Well, and I guess we can go into the deeper discussion of with the rebels sacrificing their own men just to have information. That's
right.
I mean, do we talk about, is that
to maintain the mole? They understand the risk that they're now in, going, we know this information, this guy's going to die, and everything. And you jump ahead into this current episode, and Lutheran talks about it again to Saw. He's like,
Saw is already unraveling.
I wish that you didn't have to make this choice. And you know, now you get to make it with all the information, but it's like, you know, this is where we're at, and they're going to die.
I wonder if Lutheran's going to become a character that, yeah, it seems very Game of Thrones-esque. We know he's the good guy, use air quotes. He's I think, the founding father of the rebellion, being funded by Mon Mothma and other sources, and piecing together all these different factions, or trying to. I find it interesting that he went back to Saw so quickly, and I can't remember exactly what happened in episode 10 that might have triggered him to do that. Maybe to make sure that Saw wasn't going to go join Krieger last minute. I don't know why he was back with Saw so soon. But how manipulative is he? He called out two tubes just to get him closer so he could get the blaster to put it to Saw's face and really explain, because Saw was spiraling. I know a thing or two about spiraling right now. And Saw, he was unraveling. And he's, we kind of see a glimpse of what Mon Mothma warned about in Rogue One.
Yeah.
Saw Gerrera and his band of extremist rebels.
Yeah.
And Luther, I mean, that was shocking. I mean, I was like, oh my gosh, Saw's gonna murder this guy. He's gonna have him executed.
But I think that what we actually saw is Lutheran being really good at making a point.
Mm-hmm.
He was trying to get Saw to understand the rationale behind what they were doing and why this sacrifice was necessary. And we, you know, Saw doesn't get it. He's angry because you're gonna lose 30 men plus Krieger. And yeah, you know, wanna make sure we say that. But you know, Lutheran's like, no, you've got to look at the big play. You've got to understand the long game that we're playing. And if we allow them to think like they've got this, they've got it all figured out, we allow them to get arrogant, then we will still be able to operate. If we get them crazy, then they, you know, they basically wipe out all of, if they go, there's a mole here, they get rid of everybody. That is, and we saw that. It's almost like a little bit of foreshadowing in the prison. We saw what happens when the Empire allows a little bit of knowledge to become known that could be harmful to them. What do? They
snuff them out.
Genocide. They, you know, they, not genocide particularly per se, but, you know, they killed 100 men because the secret was going to get out, and it still got out. And so there's that panic. There's that mindset of, you know, we've got to shut this whole thing down. And, you know, the Empire's shown it has no problem, you know, getting rid of its own people or sacrificing its own people if they need to. So, you know, this is one of those where Lutheran recognizes the fact that if we don't show up, if this doesn't go as planned, we are definitely going to tip our hand, and we can't do that yet.
And you can't go because you'll also be lost with your band.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and to point, if you haven't seen Star Wars Rebels, the Empire wiped out the entire population of Geonosis once they were done building the Death Star, except for, you know, one little Geonosian and an egg, if I remember that episode correctly. But the Empire is ruthless.
Yeah.
And I mean, absolutely ruthless. Now, with Saw, you know, I'm curious what might happen in the next episode. It finally gets the point across to Saw about why Lutheran's doing this. You know, at what point does this backfire on Lutheran to bring together new bands of rebels? If Saw knows what Lutheran knows, as far as, well, if he knows I'm going into a trap because he's got a connection to the ISB, how does he trust any of his next steps? And how do any bands of rebels, if Saw does share that Lutheran has this information, what happens if one of Saw's people tips off Krieger and then the whole plan goes awry? I can see that happening at this point now, of the Empire getting wise if there are other people in Saw's in that room.
Yeah. I have a feeling that what we just saw is where the formal break happens.
What you just saw?
Ah, see what I did there? I do. I think that this becomes that tipping point where Saw truly says, I can't trust any of you, not even you, so I'm completely breaking away, you know. And, you know, Mon Mothma talks about it in Rogue One that, you know, we had to separate because of his, you know, extreme. I don't think that's really what happens. It's Saw's like, forget you all. I'm done, and I am operating on my own, and my own cadre. I have my own group, and you know he even talks about that with Jin. About people are starting to figure that out. What I'm interested in, and when are we going to get a glimpse of, you know, Jin in this whole series? Because we're in that timeline, you know.
Well, at this point, did you read the Jin Erso book?
I did.
She's got no love for the Empire or the Rebels.
Right.
But she does work for Saw at some capacity.
She does.
But she was, what, 12 years old? So we haven't seen her.
16.
16?
She was 16 when he left her in a bunker with a knife and a loaded blaster.
And, how old is she in Rogue One?
You know, we don't really know. I mean, there's some people that say that she is, you know, 20, 25. I don't really know. I don't think that ever gets, you know, formulated. So there's a possibility that you could have a younger actress playing someone even in the background that's just kind of there that is a part of that. Because as the things are starting to unravel, they're, you know, and Saw has no trust whatsoever for anybody.
Depending how long the series takes, we do have to see the break. And I love Forrest Whitaker. He is playing that character phenomenally. He's doing so much justice to Saw that we didn't get to see much in Rogue One. And, you know, from his monologue 3 episodes ago to Luthern's monologue, I mean, we're just getting some excellent dialogue and content from these actors. But I hope that we don't see a break from Saw for a few more seasons, or at least next season. I want to see him continue to get pushed and pushed and pushed. Gosh, what a great series. Yeah. I mean, just Star Wars. Stay tuned for more of The Nerd Show. We'll be back after this break. Welcome back to The Nerd Show, and we're just getting started talking about Andor.
I feel like I don't know what else there is to talk about I'm going to take that back. I don't know what else there is in nerddom to talk about because Andor is so involved.
The one thing we didn't touch upon was Cyril.
Yeah.
We got him briefly after he's already been warned several times now by Dedra to back off. So now he's got the lead from that spicy Irish sergeant that we had from the first couple of episodes, the second batch of episodes. I can't remember. He's entertaining.
Yes.
So clearly Cyril's going to go off.
Oh,
what was that comment his mother said? I mean, I could see him. I can honestly see him killing his mom.
Something along the lines of, now I finally know what your obsession has been over all this time.
Yeah. She's just poking his buttons.
And totally.
Every episode, I feel like he's about to snap. So he's going to go back.
Yeah, he stole money from his mom's jewelry drawer, which I thought was hilarious.
It's like a kid all over again, you know, trying not to get caught.
I steal credits and I'm off.
So does he go back? Does he go back to the funeral? Does he get caught by Dedra there? Does he expose himself and ruin the Imperial's plan? On the off chance that Andor does go back, which I'm with Scott, I would love for him not to. I think that would be a very powerful story arc for him.
Maybe we should make a prediction. Are we predicting that he will or will not go back for Marva's funeral?
I don't think he should go back, but I'm afraid the writers are going to make him go back.
So you're saying he'll go back?
Yeah, because it's predictable. It's too predictable.
I'm going to say no.
Oh.
I'm going to predict that because I'm hopeful that the writers will not let me down in this.
Well, they haven't let us down so far.
That's why I'm saying. Nick, what do you think?
I'm with Micah on this. I don't want him to go back, but I fear that they might play it safe. But
somebody will be right.
Yes.
A week from now, one of us will be correct. Or two of us could be. I'm hoping it's only one. So
me too.
No
me
offense,
too.
Nerds.
Or maybe we're all wrong and the next episode is nothing but whale noises.
Well, we got those space whales out there with Ezra somewhere.
That's right.
And Thrawn. Weird crossover.
Yeah.
I'm really hopeful that they won't write that in because I think that'd be a fantastic arc to the story. And so I hope.
Yeah, because I think it just builds on ISB's, you know, their you know, tightening the grip and all the other things that they're doing, and they see that. I do love your idea that they destroy the wall, which would really create a sentiment of uprising and hate for the empire, for the people there. So that, you know, can kind of smolder. So we'll see how that goes.
Well, I wonder, too, if you know, maybe that happens as an uprising and the empire just wipes out Ferrix.
Yeah.
I mean, not like a, like the, like Alderaan, but basically all the people that he ever loved. I don't know. But I'm attached to B. I want to see what happens to B.
So the last thing that we also didn't talk about is the whole situation Mon Mothma's in.
Oh, gosh. With her daughter. Auctioning off her daughter?
Oh,
not auctioning off, but.
Gosh, but yeah. I mean, the gangster going, I can fix this for you, but you need to introduce. And then now her daughter is in this whole
cult.
This cult.
It seems like a cult. Like she's leading a cult.
They came around kind of quickly, too.
Yeah, and I kind of got to, I need to do a little bit more research on that. And after today, I think what it does is it's going back to the old ways, because you see Mon Mothma talk about that her daughter, you know, sought out an elder. And so I wonder if there's some element where she's trying to get back into those old way of things. And I'm wondering if some way, somehow this gangster dude has figured out a way to go, hey, I got this young man I'd like for you to meet without mom knowing. So,
oh, yeah, I can see her leading that direction, because he even said that, too, when he left, when she said, absolutely not, there's no way I'm going to do that. And he's like, that's the first lie you've told all day.
Yep. When he and she goes, I you know, I've already thought about it. There's no way. And he said, that's the only lie that you've said the entire time that we've been talking. Mm-hmm. And so she is thinking about it. And we see the emotional distress that she had, which we talked about at the top of the hour.
Look at the glare that her daughter gave her when she hugged Vel.
No. She is really angry with her mom.
Yeah.
And we don't quite know what that is, other than seems like mom is, you know, overly protective and dad lets her do whatever she wants. But I just wonder if there's something else.
Teenage angst.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think the riskiest character right now is Vel.
Yeah.
And I think we get that sense that you know, when they made that attack on
Aldani.
Yes. Where she hesitates.
She mentioned it to Mon Mothma and the look on her face is like, no, I gave him Aldani, and she's just like, what?
Mm-hmm.
So.
Oh, yeah. But she's going back to Mon Mothma. She's going to Lutheran shop.
Yep.
She's a risk. She's a flight risk for me.
Well, and she's also a risk if anybody figures out that Mon Mothma's involved in any way, shape, or form. There's a connecting the dots, and I think that's where the shopkeeper, Letha, I believe is her character's name, was trying to get across. It's like, you know.
So that was her early in those episodes, I think, going off to meet with Vel.
No.
Really?
No, that was a different character, I believe.
All right. Well, I'm still confused by that.
Yeah, there's another individual in the mix.
One thing I like so much is their conversations ever since the start of this series between Lutheran and Mon Mothma about the merchandise and how everything's coded. From his conversation when he was in the starship, which was an amazing quick little battle,
by the
way.
Yeah, the hauler, yeah.
I liked that ship we've never seen before.
But it's a concept ship. So that was the other thing you think about it. If you go back and look at some of the Macquarie artwork and some of the Colin Cantrell artwork that they did in concepts, that ship's in there. So we are seeing them pull, you know, out from the archives some of the concept stuff that we never saw. It's happening, and we're seeing it live on the screen, which I just absolutely love.
Oh, his little countermeasures. It was like the Batmobile, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Those little lightsaber things was pretty darn cool. Yeah. His little droid that is reminiscent of, what was that, Jabba's Palace as the gatekeeper type of thing. Luthen's not a guy I want to mess with.
No.
He is. But, you know, the riskiest thing about him is he has, from what I can tell, no boundaries. He will make any kind of sacrifice for the cause.
And he's kind of the center of it all, which is, I think, where, you know, the Empire's aptly name him Axis, that he's kind of the center of it. And there is a lot going on in this show, and I am just cannot even imagine how it's going to end. And then we saw, you know, Cassian and Melshi get captured by those two guys that were...
That was interesting.
It was interesting, kind of like, you know, you're poisoning the water, and, you know, and then it's like, they the script, we're going to, you know, we should kill you, and the reward, and then they're like, we're not killing anybody today, and then they take them off to back to the planet, so...
A little quad jumper. We've heard about quad jumpers before.
Quad jumpers, and did you notice that the alien that was sleeping in the little room, that Cassian broke into.
The same one as in Rogue One.
Same one as in Rogue One that Jyn was in the prison with. So there's, you know, they're tying
Easter
these connections. Easter eggs, a little bit of fan service, but done well. So.
Oh, gosh. And it's sleeping the same way. Mm-hmm. Now, are there no doors in those little hotel resorts?
It Cassian looked like
just
there wasn't. Yeah, I just
walked right in. And I just, you know, I would have loved to have seen it wake up.
Yeah.
You know, just, hey, what are you doing here?
Yeah.
And then he'd have to bribe him with some of his credits.
Yep.
Credits will do fine.
Yeah.
Gosh. Well, and, you know, do you think we'll see more of Melshi, or will it take some time for us to get reunited with his character?
I think, oh, boy. I don't know, because they have to come back together some way, somehow. So I don't know. I'm hoping that we will see he and Melshi get connected quickly, because I think there's, again, kind of like with him and K2, there's a bond that is developed over time that I want to see them continue to build and develop.
I want to watch Rogue One so badly. I will over the Thanksgiving break, just after this season's over. I mean, I think it's going to be so much more powerful just having this season under our belt with Andor. And again, I'm giving hats off to all the stories that we've had and reviewed the last couple of months. The Rings of Power, House of the Dragon, Andor.
Two of those were good.
We know so much about what's already happened. We really do. We know the outcome of all of those series, but they're adding so much complexity and depth to the characters, especially Andor, because we know, you know his fate. Just wow. Just I love it. I'm just enamored
by from where he was to where he's going to be has been an amazing, you know, just navigation of different situations that the story writers are just knocking it out of the park.
And there's no weak link in the acting. There's, you know, the atmospheric, the feel to it, the music, everything just fits. Yeah. Everything together just works.
It's been fantastic.
Gosh. Well, tune in next week for an all-new Nerd Show on Thanksgiving Eve as we review the last episode of Andor. I think we might have to do our recording on that Wednesday just so we can do proper service. And we're going to try to see Black Panther this weekend and give our reviews and thoughts on that at our next Nerd Show, too.
We have to do a double dip.
We will. Nerdians, y'all stay nerdy.